And we're going to be in the book of Matthew tonight. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll be. And we're continuing our study and studying the model prayer that the Lord Jesus gave to His disciples and indeed to us. And so that is where we will be tonight. I want to just rejoice in what God has been doing. We are thankful for the good reports we're hearing just all around the world, really, just talking to missionaries of ours and hearing the good reports. Brother Eric Johnson sent me a text. It was really encouraging. He sent me a text right after our service had finished. I really wish I had gotten it and during the service, but then y'all would have accused me of texting during church, and I don't want y'all to be able to do that. But anyway, we did get a wonderful picture of, he said there were a great many children there that Sunday night that we influenced during the VBS, along with their parents. And so that was just tremendous. That was a huge help and just a huge blessing to us as we were thinking about just seeing what God did there in the DR. And we were praying, as Brother Eric said as well, we're praying that we'll continue to see fruit in the days ahead. Well, again, if you're there in Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll be. Matthew chapter 6. And I'll begin reading there in verse number 9, and that's where we'll be tonight. We'll just stay there in verse 9 as we finish up the latter part. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful again for your goodness. We come together tonight and Lord, a lot of things going on in our lives. Lord, trials, confusion, difficulties, and victories as well. And Lord, just many things going on. But Lord, we just want to pause right now and just to say, Lord, we're looking to you in all of those things. For we know we can take no glory for the victories. And Lord, we know we need not fret in the valley. Because we have an awesome God that we serve. And so, Lord, we look to you tonight to help us during this study and that you would lead and empower and strengthen your people. And thank you again for this opportunity. In Jesus' precious name, I do pray. Amen. Well, just want to see if everyone got a handout. Does anyone need a handout here? All right, we got several that might need it. Titus, can you come help me hand these out, buddy? You're such a great servant. Why don't we go ahead and give you a handful here to hand out over here. And do we need anybody on this side that needs? All right, we got several. You can hand it. Raise your hand over here if you. Hey, how are y'all doing? Let me give y'all one of these. Good to see y'all tonight. Here we go. Yep, there we go. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, so we're getting. We got several hands over here on this side too, Brother Jeff, and Titus is getting those handed out. That is wonderful. Nehemiah, I'm sorry. I called you Titus, buddy. You knew what I meant, didn't you? Because you responded well. I mean, it was as if your name was Titus, really. And I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you, Nehemiah. Thank you for serving. I appreciate it. Anybody else need a handout that goes with tonight's study? All right. So again, as we covered our the first part of the passage dealing with the model prayer here in chapter 6 last week, we dealt with how we are to commence the prayer time and addressing the Father. And how wonderful that is in the privilege we have as children coming unto our Heavenly Father who loves us, knows what's the very best for us, and coming to Him is a great, great comfort. And so tonight we're going to transition from addressing the Lord, our Father, our God, and we're going to talk about the petitions that Jesus is going to teach here in the following verses. We'll see six total. Some say they believe it's seven, depending how you look at the last one, when the context of delivering from evil. But you see here that there are six petitions made in this model prayer. Now, the first three that you see, beginning here with what we're going to talk about tonight, hallowed be thy name, the first three, you'll notice the key word there, thy. They're all in reference to the Almighty. And that is important to note because I believe Jesus is saying that God is the reason we pray, and He is the one we come to praying for His glory. Right off the beginning of our prayers, our motive, our reason, and our goal is that God would be glorified. I'll talk about that more so here in just a moment. But the first three we see thy, and then the last three we see is the word us. And we'll get into that more often here in a few weeks and discover that a little bit more in detail. But we see tonight we're going to talk about the first thy. Hallowed be thy name. So let's define terms here and just want to go over this and just see what the Lord is saying here as far as what does that mean? Hallowed be thy name. That term hallowed, now that's not something we typically use in our vocabulary in our day and age, but nevertheless, it most definitely is very accurate. It is absolutely accurate in what it's conveying. That word hallowed simply means here, as you'll notice in your notes there, we got several coming in. Jeff, do you have extra copies that you can get out to those that are coming in? We should have plenty. If you don't have one of these handouts, just raise your hand. Brother Jeff will give you one of those. The word means to sanctify. And that word sanctify means to set apart, to revere, to make and keep holy. That is what it is simply teaching there. There, as Jesus is saying, when you come to the Father, when you come and address Him as Father, the Heavenly Father, you realize very soon your purpose for praying is that you are setting Him apart, Almighty God apart, as being the Most High, the most important, all-consuming God of your prayer, of your life. He is the one, as you come to it, He is the only one that can answer our prayers. He is our only hope. And that is so important for the child of God to understand in this life. As we approach our Heavenly Father, we must realize that we must reverence Him. Now, this Greek word, hagiadzo, is translated sanctified in several other verses. One in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And you can go over there with me. We can just take a quick glance at that. Just to kind of give you an idea, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, if you want to, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And again, that word sanctify, same Greek word, is the idea of setting apart, the uniqueness of it, the importance of it. It stands alone. And God Himself stands alone and is worthy of our first and most intense attention. It is the Lord God. Hallowed be thy name. Now, Jesus is teaching here that there should be a reverential awe of our Heavenly Father as we recognize His supreme power, majesty, righteousness, and holiness. Reverential awe. Now, as you notice here, the second blank, this reverential awe should not be mistaken for craven fear. and the idea of being defeated or timid. No, we know in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that God tells us to come with boldness, with confidence, but at the same time, we come with much reverence. You know, we don't talk to God like a buddy. Yes, He is a friend. Jesus is a friend to sinners. He's a friend. We know that. But even with that characteristic of our God, He is also our Creator. He is also our Savior. He is also the Most High God. And He is worthy of true and absolute reverence. And so we come unto our Heavenly Father and we recognize again the supreme power that only He can hold. The majesty that only He has and that He only owns. And His righteousness and His holiness. And so very important as we enter into our ministry of prayer corporately and privately is that must be very strong in the forefront of our minds. Is how great our God is. It never hurts. Now, we'll talk here in just a moment too. Now, again, there are going to be times where perhaps maybe an emergency, for instance, where we maybe don't have time to necessarily go through and recognize all the attributes of God. Jesus knows that. That's not necessarily what He is teaching here. He's teaching that the heart should be in awe every time you enter into the presence of God in prayer. There should be an awe and a realization that He is the Almighty. And there are times where we do have to pray quick prayers. It may be, in it, like I said, an emergency or a different context or whatnot. But the truth is, most of the time, corporately and privately, and even in our homes, it's good to take time just to recognize the goodness and the power of Almighty God. And over there where it says in Hebrews 4:16, you know, the idea is that we can, with great reverence, we can come with boldness. The Lord doesn't want us to approach Him defeated. You know, I don't know if you've ever been around an abused animal, and for that matter, an abused child. I've been around both, and my pastor long ago told me. He says, as a pastor, he said, I can tell you very quickly. I can notice very quickly. He didn't say I could tell you, but he said, I could notice very quickly when I went into a home to children that were perhaps being abused. He said it did not take him long at all, because if he caught the child around his father or around his mother and the parent just had a sudden movement. It wasn't even maybe directed toward that child, but then the child jumped and was startled and to shield itself. And the child just carried the demeanor there that, boy, there was a timidness there. There was a fear in their heart to even be around that parent. And I want to tell you, folks, we don't have to have that spirit around our Heavenly Father. Oh, no, our God is gentle. He is good. He always, always does what's the very best for us. And He does it perfectly. And when we approach Him, listen, and can I say this? Even when we've done wrong, we can approach Him boldly. You know why? Because that wrong, that sin, is covered in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I can come with boldness before my God. Yes, with reverence, but with boldness. And I believe the Lord is teaching that here. And when He says, "Hallowed be Thy name." May your name be the main reason that I come even before now. It's not about me, Lord. No, this is about You. Jesus was teaching here His disciples. Now, disciples, I'm going to teach you to pray for your needs. There's going to be times where it's going to be about you and the things you're facing. But He said, I want to teach you something here. Your Father is
is always the priority. He is the one you're praying. He's the one you're praying to, and He is the one and the reason you are praying. It is for His glory. It's all about Him. Yes, He's going to help meet your needs, and He's going to love on you and direct you and guide you and correct you. He's going to do all of those things. But let's get the attention where it needs to be right off. Notice that the second term I'd like to look at here. We see hallowed be, but then look at that thy name. Thy name. God's name was so greatly revered by the Jews in the Old Testament and Jews today even, that instead of saying Jehovah, which means the self-existent one, they would simply say the name. They would use a substitute there. Why? Because they felt that the very letters and name was too holy and sacred to be mentioned from fallible lips. They chose not to say that name because of how they looked at that name as being so sacred and holy, set apart. Now, am I suggesting that we cannot use the name of God? No, I'm not. But I would say, with what Jesus is teaching here, when you do use it, use it with very seriousness. Use it with a very serious intent. You use it with reverence and seriousness. And that is what I believe the Lord Jesus is saying here. I sometimes struggle with this. And, you know, those of you that work in the secular workplace and are out there and hear a lot of vulgarity, you are familiar with facing some of these things. But, boy, for the believer, for the child of God, it should really cause us to cringe when someone uses the Lord's name in vain. Now, you have to be careful, because if it's someone that doesn't know the Lord, they don't know any better. And yes, there can be an opportunity to witness there and open up the conversation to talking about the Lord. But you have to be careful there. But boy, I tell you, for the believer, for the child of God, there's never a reason we should use the Lord's name in vain. And you hear it. And some may accuse me of being nitpicky, but I don't even like to hear words being abbreviated for the name of God. I'm not going to mention names, but it's no one here. Same, not even our church. It's a distant relatives of mine that I'm really praying for and just wanting to be able to encourage them spiritually. But when I get around them, they use that very often. But sometimes they will, instead of saying G-O-D, it just is oh my, and it's either just G-O, God. Like, all that would be left is to put the D enunciation there. And it is so close. And I know, well, so you're being nitpicky, Pastor. Well, I'm just saying, let's just follow what Jesus says. When we are talking about God, we are using it with great reverence, great respect, with seriousness. And parents, I hope you will encourage your children, because they'll hear it. They'll hear other kids say the Lord's name in vain and use it flippantly, or just because they stump their toe or whatever. But you just use it as a teaching moment. Why do we carry that? Why is it so important that we not use that name flippantly? You'll notice there, the name means... as you see here in our verse where it says there, hallowed be thy name. What does that truly indicate? What is that signifying? I'll tell you what it is. It means all that is true of God, all that is true of God and all that has been revealed concerning God. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Now, that's when we talk about that name, we're talking about all His attributes. We're talking about His character. We're talking about His nature. Lord, hallowed be Thy name. Set apart, reverenced. Oh, that is what Jesus is teaching here. It is clear that Christ was teaching that we should express a deep and earnest desire for God's glory to be set apart above all else. So even as Jesus is going to teach us how to pray for our needs, which I'm really glad He does teach us about that. I'm really glad He encourages us to always pray about our needs. That is important. But before our Savior gets into that, He says, listen, what you're praying for, may it all redound to the glory of God. May it be set apart for Him and Him alone. Look, Jesus set the example in this. In John chapter 17, why don't you go over there with me? This is the actual Lord's Prayer. This is His actual prayer that He prayed unto the Father for the disciples and for the world, for you and for me. John chapter 17. We're not going to read the whole chapter, of course, but just you notice there, verse 4. Jesus says, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And in verse 6, I have manifested Thy name. Thy name, there it is again, unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Now, if you read the whole context there, Jesus is also explaining to us in this prayer that Jesus at one time shared this same glory. But He left that glory up above, and of course we know why. He came down to a sin-cursed world for us, for me and you. He took upon flesh, but He shared that glory. And He knew of that glory, and He spoke of that glory, and He tried His best in all His power. He did. He did everything perfectly, so I'd say His best. He did it right. When He was on earth, He did everything perfectly in seeking to get men to understand the glory of God. Not all men received it, because we know all men have a free will, and they can choose or reject God's glory. So we see here, I have glorified Thee, I have manifested Thy name. Our greatest desire of prayer should be that this mighty, wonderful, and awesome God who has become our Father should be rightly revered, worshiped, and glorified. I believe that is what Jesus is teaching here when He says, hallowed be Thy name. You know, as we begin to pray here in just a moment, we have to remind ourselves of this, because many times when we enter into prayer, now they could be good things, folks. Don't get me wrong. I am not suggesting at any time here that we should not pray for ourselves and pray for needs. But if we're honest here, many times we can get into a habit that when we pray, the main motive at the time is for a need. When we pray, the main reason at that moment is because Johnny is truly sick. And we're going to pray about some things here. And I don't ever want to de-emphasize or take away the importance of people's prayer requests. Because what may be important to you may not be as important to somebody else. We shouldn't ever do that. But I'm saying here is that all prayer requests are important, but not nearly as important as us giving recognition to our great God. Every time we enter into His presence, may that be our heart. May that be our desire, that His glory may be the most important thing of my prayer.